Good morning, church. Good morning. Merry Christmas. It's happening. The season has started. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? All right. You're still here. You're in town, so probably people visited you here in beautiful St. Clemente. But it's Christmas time. Oh, by the way, it's great to have Shelby back. Luke has been back, but Shelby is back, and Grayson is 2 months old, cuter than a button. Thanks for your prayers, but it's good to have them back. And what else was I going to say? You know, I know what I was going to say. So I want to give you a debrief on Operation Christmas Child, because it's important. You all participated, and numbers always highlight, you know, kind of how things are working, and you donated 1,115 boxes. Good job. That's up 10% from last year. And that's not counting, by the way, good morning online community, that's not counting you guys or anybody that prepared a box online as well. So it was even more than that. So super cool. Be praying for your boxes. Those are people. You know, I remember meeting, I think it was 2 years ago, I met a guy visiting from Africa, and he talked about when he was in a village and got a box and the difference it made for him. So it's a difference maker, and God uses them for kingdom work, and so thank you for your participation. Also, over 100 of you volunteered to man the semi-truck out here and receive boxes, so thank you for those of you that volunteer. It's super important. And I also want to give a special thanks to the man behind the vision, really. It just goes back decades in the idea of Dave Buchan and Blair Buchan, and he has been, I don't know where you are. But anyway, it was their vision back in the day, and they stayed with it for, I don't know how many years, at least probably 15 years. And faithfully organizing the hundreds of volunteers and the boxes and everything. So thank you, Dave and Blair. If you're online or in person, I don't know. Oh, you're in the back. Okay, got it. There you go. Now I get to embarrass you. Enjoying Grayson, Shelby and Luke's child, and super cute. And it made me think about just how many young couples now are having kids right now. It just seems like multiple young couples have had kids, transitioning from couples into parents. And we all know what that transition is, those of you that have been parents or grandparents. I know I'm dating myself, but back in my day, this is what old guys can say. Back in my day, we used to have to wait until the birthday of the child to find out if it was a boy or girl. Some of you remember that, right? Okay. Not many of you, but some of you do. And it was a big deal, right? I mean, you're waiting in the waiting room. You got the blue cigars. You got the pink cigars. I think those were chewing gums. Remember those? They transitioned from regular cigars because whatever. And, you know, it's a boy, it's a girl, you know, and you had that whole thing. Well, today, you know, with modern technology, everybody finds out in advance. In fact, if you didn't find out today, you're probably the exception, certainly not the rule. Everybody wants to know. And I always ask them, why do you want to know? Well, you know, we want to prepare. It's like, okay, whatever. You know, paint or I don't know. It was just, but they keep the surprise going because they have what are called reveal parties. Are you familiar with those? Right? And so you don't wait till the birthday, but once you find out whether it's a girl or boy with a sonogram or whatever, then you do this big gathering of family and friends and you do the reveal. And the way you reveal it is, I don't know, color of smoke. It could be blue smoke and it's a boy, or pink smoke, it's a girl, or color of confetti or color of balloons. There's all kinds of different ways. Everybody goes, oh, yeah, it's a boy. So, you know, that's where it's at today. Now, we all know that that's the only thing you can reveal, a boy or a girl, because the rest of their personality and life is revealed over time. And that's the joys of parenting. Oh, yeah. But as we enter the Christmas season, by the way, thank you, Ron and team, for doing all this. It looks beautiful. As we enter the Christmas season, really what we're celebrating is the first reveal party. Yep, before technology, before all of that, God revealed to a young couple what was going on, and they knew in advance what was going on. Not just who was being born, a boy or a girl, but what was being born. And this is what makes Christmas actually so important, based on that, the reveal. And so I've entitled this morning's message, The Big Reveal, Why Christmas is So Important. And we're going to be looking at a couple of very familiar passages here this morning, hopefully to get us kind of ready and moving on into the Christmas season. This is the beginning of Advent, and I'll tell you a little more about that, but the theme for the first week of Advent is hope. And so hopefully your hope will increase as a result of our time together as well. So we'll pick it up, and I'm sure you've read these verses before, but they're always good to read again and see what God has for us. Matthew 1:18, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, that is a sexual and wedding reference, I'll give you more on that in a second, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. So, we've talked about this before, but let me just remind us, because the context is everything, in this, especially in that statement there. We have, in our culture, for folks that usually get married, a time of dating, and then we have an engagement period, and then we have a wedding day. Okay? That's our culture. In the culture we're reading about, they really didn't have a dating period. They had an engagement period, and they had a wedding week. Okay? And so it's very different. And the engagement period was very different than our engagement period. They called it betrothed. Okay? All the marriages were arranged by mom and dad, so there really wasn't any dating. It was just effectively a deal that was made by mom and dad that made sense culturally and for their families and all these other things. And then once that deal was made, they would memorialize it or legalize it. So the engagement was actually, or the betrothal period was actually a legal move. They would appear before a judge or some kind of tribal leader that could institute this as a legal, okay, here we go, papers were signed. And this season would happen with the betrothal period or the engagement period before the wedding week was usually a year. During that year, no sex. They didn't live together. They stayed in their separate homes. And they really, this was a time to spend and grow and mature and get to the point where they can move out on their own and not have to rely on mom and dad anymore. Unless they had family businesses, they would stay in touch. So very different than ours. Ours is usually, you know, 3 months to a year, and it's planning a wedding and picking things out, those kind of things. For them, it was legal. And so here's the important part. To be unengaged, in our culture, you just give the ring back and say it's off, cancel the wedding. In that culture, you had to get a legal divorce to be unengaged, okay? Then when the wedding week would happen, there was parades that would come in, and they would do this big march and celebration, and they would march from the homes of the kids, usually, to the home where they're going to live, okay? And at the end of the march, there's a big feast, there's a lot of drinking, and then consummation day, which would be at the end, is when they would have this special chamber made. Well, that was a weird thing. They would have a special chamber made for them to come together and consummate the marriage through sexual connection, okay? And at the end of that, it's gonna get a little graphic here, but the groom would bring out a cloth that had blood on it to show, number one, they've consummated their marriage, they're now officially married, but all the, so that the bride was a virgin, okay? So, that's the backdrop to this little announcement that before they had come together on their wedding, consummated it sexually, she's pregnant, okay? Now, verse 19 says, now her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, put Mary to shame, he resolved to divorce her quietly. Well, why would she be put to shame? The consummation day, right? Unless they lied and took some blood of an animal or something and put it on a cloth and tried to bamboozle everybody, it would have been known at that point that she, there was infidelity. And that, in fact, not only that, but if they didn't fast track it, she's already showing before it gets there. So Joseph's thinking, let's call this thing off. Let's legally get a divorce and hope it goes away. Now, it's never going to go away with her, right? Because she's going to go through her pregnancy and all kinds of rumors will fly around. Did Joseph get her pregnant? Now he's bowing out. But he figured that would be the best way, because if I go all the way through the marriage and it's unraveled, they could arrest her, literally. And so he figured option one is off the table. Let's go with option two and get a divorce. Cover it up. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So the pregnancy test is confirmed. There's two lines, right? Mary's pregnant, clearly, by God. Okay? And then the instructions are go with option one, keep going and getting married, and don't be afraid. Face the wedding day. God will effectively take care of it. More on that in a second. But this is the bottom line. Pregnant by God, and this is what makes Christmas so important. Number one in your outline, Jesus had a supernatural birth. It's important that we don't move past this in the name of the rest of the story and get to Herod and get to the wise men and get to Bethlehem and get to the census and all these other things that were real and that were challenges and had to do with the birth. But this statement is 100% out of the box. No baby could claim the same thing. No parent could claim the same thing of their baby. It's literally a miracle. And we all know this story. And so the real question is considering the implications of this. In other words, this isn't, Jesus wasn't of human origin. He wasn't of this world. Now, we covered this in our study through John, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh, Merry Christmas, and dwelt among us. So this whole virgin birth by the Holy Spirit, supernatural thing, really has to do with the deity of Christ. The implications are pretty big. And when you look at this passage, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That means the virgin birth is the deity of Christ, God Himself. Now, since Jesus, there literally have been billions of children born. And it's super interesting that today, over 2,000 years later, we're still celebrating the birth of this child to Joseph and Mary. And what's also interesting is this baby has crossed every language barrier, has crossed every culture. Everybody's heard of him. Out of all the billions of babies. And yet this baby has never held public office, never ruled a country, never led an army, never had money, never wrote a word that we're aware of, and he only lived 33 years. And of those 33 years, we only know of 3 years. Even today, November 27th, since when? Wow. Supernatural birth with supernatural implications, and I'll get to those in a second. But this means that Christmas is more than a nice story. I mean, it's pretty basic. It's a miracle of God. Muhammad said, "I am a spokesman for God." Buddha said, "I'm just a man." Cult leaders can claim to be God all day long, but all you've got to do is look at their birth certificate and you'll see a mom and a dad. And Jesus said, "I and the Father are one. The Father is in me and I am in the Father." I hope this elevates, at least, kind of sobers us up to the season of Christmas. In other words, oh, the birth of Jesus, how cute. It's pretty powerful and mind-boggling. Now, why is that important that it's a virgin birth? I'll get there in a second. But that it is kind of crazy. Now, we don't know what happened with the wedding day. Obviously, they survived it, or maybe they ditched out. Maybe they said, you know what, we're relocating to Bethlehem. Wish everybody could come. See ya. Don't know. Or maybe it was drama and God took care of it. Or maybe, who knows? We don't know. But clearly, it didn't put Mary's life at risk, being arrested, infidelity, all that kind of stuff. And clearly, Joseph and Mary stayed together. But living with this idea that the baby's not from you, but from God, I mean, that's crazy. So I say that not like, oh, I didn't hear, I had no idea about a virgin birth. I know everybody knows that. But I'm just trying to elevate a little bit of Christmas and this season and when we're going into it and what you're celebrating when you're decorating your tree and putting up the lights and cooking the meals is you're celebrating a miracle. You're celebrating a supernatural event by God. But why? Let's keep reading. The angel continued, "She will bear a son," talking to Joseph, "and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken to the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Notice the deity part again. Now, so we get a little bit of a reveal here. You're going to have a boy. Blue smoke going up. And you're going to call his name Jesus. Okay, sort of. Remember I told you a while back, if you've been at PCC for a while, I don't mean to pop your bubble, but Jesus was never called Jesus. He was called Yeshua or Joshua. Jesus is just a transliteration of a Greek version of, so call it a nickname. Jesus was his nickname for us. But why is that important? Because Joshua means God saves. And what's interesting here is we're told that this event fulfills what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. What prophet is that? Isaiah. And so the angel actually quotes from Isaiah 7, in particular 14, but let's read verses 13 and 14. Isaiah the prophet, 700 years, by the way, before the birth of Christ, said this, and he said, Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. That was 700 plus years before the birth of Christ, that Isaiah was prophesying to King Ahaz, and King Ahaz was an evil king, basically. He started worshiping, he introduced the worship of Molech, and so he had idols placed throughout Israel, Judea. He made treaties with foreign kings who were pagans. He decimated, really, the Jewish religion. He allowed human sacrifices. And the reason this Isaiah gives him this warning about the virgin child is this. So, okay, listen, I don't want to go too deep because we could get lost. So King Ahaz, move the clock forward a couple hundred years, and you got King Jeconiah. King Jeconiah was actually a king for 3 months before King Nebuchadnezzar came in from Babylon, took the Jews over, exiled them and the king to Babylon, okay? Now, during Jeconiah's reign, God told Jeconiah through a prophet that his line will be cursed. It will be stopped. Your line will no longer be blessed, okay? Jeconiah was the line of David. And Jesus had to be born through the line of David, which follows the male side in order to fulfill prophecy. So how are you born through a line of David that has been cursed and it passes through the males? Virgin birth. It goes around it. It preempts it. It keeps the line in place, but not the blood line. This is why part of the virgin birth is so important. And this is the key. Now, the other part is Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 tells us that what? We are born with a sinful nature, right? We inherited that from who? Our parents, who inherited that from who? Their parents, blah, 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 all the way back to Adam and Eve. So if you're a human being, then you're born, Scripture tells us, with a sinful nature. Well, if Jesus was born as a human being, then he also would have a sinful nature. Well, how does that work? If Jesus came to die for our sin and yet he is sin, it doesn't work. How do you go around that? Virgin birth. And let me just throw in, this may blow your mind, on both sides. Oh, we know it wasn't David's kid, but what makes us think it's Mary's kid? Today we have IVF. We can inseminate outside the uterus with two different eggs, two different sperm, and we can put it inside a female and the born. So I would even argue, not even of the physical inheritance of Mary as well. Thus, you can have the perfect child in place by God. Now, he can do IVF, I think. If we can do it, I think he can figure out ways to do it as well. It's still supernatural, still a miracle, but hey, come on. Now, we'd have a hard time with that 50 years ago because we couldn't conceive how that could happen. But today, with technology, we can conceive how that can happen. So what's your point, Mark? Well, the big reveal, it's a boy, got that. But Jesus was also came to save people from their sin. There is only one person that can do that, and that is a sinless person. And the only sinless person that can't be born of human origin. This is why the virgin birth is so important. It's not just a cute miracle and we go, wow, that's pretty crazy. It accomplishes and solves a lot. And this is why everybody can be saved by the cross of Christ, because if Jesus is, and the Word became flesh, he is eternal, that sacrifice is eternal and can cover all of our sin. Because don't forget, there were three people that got crucified that day, Jesus and two thieves. Why did the one in the middle, why did Jesus cover our sin? Because of who he is. God in human flesh with no sinful nature. That's the only clause. So, this is why Christmas is so important. Number two on your outline, Jesus solves our sin problem. This is the big reveal. This is the really important news. This is the value of Christmas. I like how the Apostle Paul put it, Colossians 1:19, for in him, we're talking about Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That's a powerful statement. and through him, Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven. How? Making peace. How? By the blood of the cross. I was thinking when I was watching Little Grayson, and it reminded me, and I've done this with my grandkids as well as my kids, I'm not a big baby person. Fortunately, my wife is. She loves babies. I mean, I'm okay with them. I just get really tired fast. It's like going to Marshall's or something. I just walk in and I almost pass out. I almost faint. They need benches for the men in there. And babies, I want to say, not just infants, but let's, you know, to the point where you can read them books and stuff. I wasn't a big book reader either. You know, it was always the assignment, okay, put so-and-so to bed. Can you go read them books? And it's like, oh, you know, it just, I don't know. It just, and Susan loves reading them books, so it was great. Our kids didn't grow up all completely dysfunctional. But I would get impatient. I would read them books. And honestly, you know, see Spot, run. Spot's red. And I'm like, oh. So I would start embellishing. I would make Spot, I'd go, look at Spot. Oh, excuse me, you know, and then the kids would start laughing, you know, and so I'd make Spot do all kinds of stuff that helped move me along through the process. I'd always get in trouble too. You know, my grandkids especially, they would tell on me all the time, Papa made Spot fart, and you know, we don't say fart, and oh gosh, I'm in trouble again. But another technique I had was I would turn the page and I would grab like three pages in turn to get past them. It never worked. These kids can't read. They're at the age where they can't read, but they knew I skipped the story, and they'd always take me back. Wait a second, didn't Spot, you know, go into a house? Where's the house, and where's the kitty, or whatever it was? So I'd always get busted, and I would always want them to, like, here's a book. It's only three pages. Can't we read that one? You know, my grandkids are super smart. I mean, they read books for fun, and when they get in trouble, their book is taken away from them. So when they hand me a book, it's like 6-point font, you know, encyclopedias. And it's like, no, you know. So, and, you know, this is my issue, 100%. And it's not that big a drama. The kids aren't traumatized because Papa wasn't a great reader. But when you do that with the Christmas story, embellish, leave out, skip over, the whole thing is ruined. Because often we skip over this stuff. This is the part we skip over. Virgin birth, well, seems weird, too much faith. Okay, move on. Oh yeah, Herod, oh, the wise men, those guys are cool. Oh, myrrh, frankincense, and okay, what does that represent? Well, that's cool, they gave him gold, wow. Oh, no room at the inn, that must have been hard. And we skip over this stuff, this virgin birth stuff, because we kind of don't get it. So we grab three pages and move past it. And I just want to encourage you, don't do that. Don't avoid this. Process this. Ruminate on this. It's a big deal. I mean, when you think about our holidays that we celebrate things. We celebrate people. We celebrate an event. We celebrate Father's Day, that celebrates dads. We celebrate Mother's Day, that celebrates moms. We celebrate Valentine's Day, that celebrates couples in love. We celebrate birthdays, that has a name attached to it. We celebrate Veterans Day, that veterans. We celebrate 4th of July, that highlights Independence Day. We celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday, that's Martin Luther King. And then we come here, and we say, happy holidays. We're celebrating happiness. Now, I'm not one of those guys that says, "Oh, if you say happy, you know, holidays, anathema, it's Christmas, say Christmas," you know. Now, don't go there. But I'm just saying, if that's our mindset, if it's a season and it's a greeting and it's a holiday and it's happy, those are all fun, those are all cool. That's a story, that's the book. It's not this story and not this book. And it doesn't solve our sin problem. And it isn't supernatural. It's embellished, it's dumbed down. So I say all this to kind of just raise the awareness going into this season. That when you decorate the tree, when you cook, you're celebrating the miracle, but you're also celebrating the hope of heaven. In fact, that's what the big reveal is. And this week we start, I told you, we start Advent. If you've noticed, the candle of hope is lit. First one on your right, the one that's lit, that starts this week, this is hope. Just to go through them, the next one over is peace, the pink one is joy, the final one is love, and in the middle, the white one is the Christ candle, and we light that on Christmas Eve. But this was a tradition of the church that goes back 4th century. It's not in the Bible, but I think it's good because we can get so harried and wound up for the stuff we got to do for Christmas that when we get to Christmas, it's like, and we miss this stuff. We miss this kind of reflection, this kind of devotion. That's why I think Advent's so important. In fact, we have these books, as you probably know, and it's a daily reading, and it's 4 weeks, and it starts today. And this week is the week of hope, and the hope is found in the deity of Christ, Emmanuel with us. And there's daily readings, and I encourage you to just grab one of these. They're free. They're on the patio. And if you're online, you don't need a hard copy. You can just text us or call us, and we'll give you the information for getting a PDF version of this. But this can be very practical for you. It's daily. And if you spend time doing that, I know and I trust that as this season journeys for the next 4 weeks, you'll get to Christmas and it won't be, it'll be almost a culmination of devotion. And that's what Advent does. It's taken on all kinds of different forms through the church over the millennial, really, over the decades and centuries. But primarily, it's for focus and reflection to make sure we don't miss it, miss the miracle. But more than the miracle, what was the miracle for, and why is that important to us? We have hope in Christ to be forgiven of our sinful nature. So we know that when our heartbeat stops, we can be ushered into the presence of God, into heaven, because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And that sacrifice was eternal because of the virgin birth and the whole mission and rescue mission that God intended that took place on that quiet Christmas night that the world didn't know about yet. And look at us. Here we are 2,000 years later and the world knows about it. So I just encourage you, we've got one more song to sing, and just as a reflection kind of the hope of God. And I just encourage you to just look at the words, think of the words, process the words, and may they just kind of start your heart afresh as we enter into Advent in the weeks to come. Lord, I do pray that as this season now is upon us, we confess that in a lot of what we do, we all have our own traditions, and they're fun, and they can be super exciting, and especially for little kids and families, and even older, Lord. We all have our things we do that make Christmas Christmas, but Lord, I pray that through that, we would not miss the profound rescue mission that you came for us. And what could have been a train wreck, you solved it all. with all these situations, from Jeconiah to sinful natures to all that, through this miracle of a virgin birth. And what that means for us eternally, that we can have the hope of heaven and be forgiven of our sin. So Lord, as we enter into the season, may we enter into a time of reflection and devotion to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.